Oh God. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How can I know if I'm good? That's the question the people have for Jesus. It's the question underneath the question that they ask, what they're worried about. They're worried they won't be included in the kingdom of God. They want to know how to know that they've repented and believed enough. It's a worry that makes sense. When Jesus comes to Galilee in Mark 1:14, he proclaims the good news of God and says the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And what's happening there is called a chiasm. It's a little meaning sandwich where we get the good news of God on one side and the good news of God on the other side, and the point of the whole thing is right in the middle. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe. The kingdom of God has come near, and that means that everything could change. Finally. Finally, maybe love and not Rome is going to be in charge. Finally, the promised Messiah. Transitions of power like this are elastic moments when things can really happen, when a new normal can burst into reality like the Kool-Aid man bursting into a room to quench your thirst. The dominion of God has come near, but so far in the Gospel of Mark, love in charge has looked less like political and military rescue from a Messiah on a powerful horse and more like Jesus healing the sick, casting out demons, and eating with tax collectors. In a world where illness demon possession and having exploitative jobs were sure signs of sinfulness, sinfulness so bad you could not associate with your community. But Jesus keeps going where those people are and welcoming them in. He said he's come not to call the righteous, but the sinners. And so the righteous are getting a little worried. They've learned how to be righteous over time and through the generations from ancestors like Esther and Joel and Ezra. They've learned fasting from the Pharisees and from leaders no less important than John the Baptist himself. Their tradition, these traditions, let them be in relationship with God. But Jesus doesn't seem interested in them at all. And if that Jesus not being interested is what the incoming dominion of God looks like, we can understand why the people might be scared and a little bit uncertain. Have I repented the right way? Have I repented enough? How do I know if I've repented enough? Do the things that I used to do to know that I'd repented enough still count as my repentance? How can I know if I'm good? I think I too would be scared and uncertain if the messianic equivalent of a giant anthropomorphized pitcher of fruit punch burst through my living room wall, telling me that the kingdom of God had come near and I should repent and believe. And then after that, acted in ways that weren't at all the ones I was expecting. I wouldn't know what else it signaled, what other frameworks, like what I would expect walls to do, or how sin works, or what it means to be alive. Frameworks that I had taken for granted my whole life were suddenly, in fact, entirely malleable. The otherworldly nature of it would be disturbing, and I would want to know what was going to happen to me in the midst of this world turned upside down moment. And so the people ask Jesus, "Why aren't you fasting? Is fasting no longer a trustworthy way for me to repent? If the dominion of God has come near, if God has come close, how do I know if I'm good enough?" The question is enormous, bigger even than a giant anthropomorphized pitcher of fruit punch, because it's asking about everything from the efficacy of religious rituals to the end of the power of death. It's asking about everything in between. the people asking long for a clear answer, a yes or no path forward in a time when the world is shaking underfoot. These rituals are good. These rituals are bad. These people are good. These people are bad. Jesus will not give them that kind of answer. Jesus responds to an enormous question about the meaning of life with questions about weddings and housework, about relationships and chores, about humans and the work of being human. It turns out when love is in charge, life looks a lot less like political and military conquest and a lot more like humans living together in community. Jesus does not tell them that they are good or tell them that fasting is bad. He asks about relationships, about the context of their behavior and the relationships between the people doing the fasting. Who would fast during a wedding feast? No one. Not because fasting is bad, but because at that time a wedding meant a week of feasting. You could not fast because you were celebrating the good news of families coming together, of closer community, and of new life on the horizon. Jesus asks, who would sew unshrunk cloth onto an old cloak? No one. Not because either new cloth is bad or old cloaks are good, but because sewing them together before you've shrunk the new cloth will force them to rip apart when the cloak is washed and the new cloth shrinks. Who would put new wine into old wineskins? No one. Not because new wine tastes better than old wine or because old wineskins are worthless, but because when new wine is fermenting, it needs the pliability of the leather in new wineskins to stretch with it as it bubbles and expands. The people of God want to know how to know if they are good. If the dominion of God means the rules handed down from their ancestors are or aren't reliable ways to know who is in and who is out. They want to know if they can know if she is good or if he is a sinner. They want to know if they are good or if they are a sinner. Jesus declines the either or. For humans, God coming close means neither military nor political conquest. God coming close means neither a new set of rules to follow for guaranteed salvation, nor a repudiation of the old rules to follow for guaranteed salvation. God coming close means a liberating invitation to lay down the idea that we were ever the ones to decide. Deciding who was good and bad was never the people's job. When Jesus comes close, when love is in charge, the thing for the people to do is not to scramble to figure out which set of rules will make them good, but to live lives bursting through living room walls, to proclaim that the living water that quenches thirst is available to all. That time is now. The kingdom of God has come near. It does not matter if you were good or bad. It does not matter if you fasted or did not fast. It matters now that you live like love is in charge, like Jesus is here. This is good advice to us today. We too are in times of change, times when it feels like the world is shifting underfoot. We too are in times when military or political conquest might feel more like the Messiah we're waiting for. We too, like the crowds around Jesus, may long to know who is good and who is bad, and which set of rules will guarantee which outcomes. We too, like the crowds around Jesus, may do better to remember that deciding who is good and who is bad was never our job. What is our job is living like love is in charge. Living lives bursting through living room walls, proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near, that the Holy Spirit dwells in each of us, that by the grace of God, we are trusted with the power to welcome, the power to heal, and the power to love. That those are powers which seek not to judge, but to accompany, not to dictate, but to listen, not to send away, but to suffer with. What is our job? Is living like we believe what we say, when we preach and when we pray, when we sing and when we worship. The kingdom of God has come near. Turn and believe. May God grant us courage to live such lives. Amen.